I was, I think it was 2002, and I got a phone call. Actually, we were in Madrid, living in a small flat outside Madrid in a place called Mostoles. And I got a phone call from somebody that, you know, sounds really, really posh, like, hello, right? Is that Dario, you know? Hi, I said, hello, hola, you know, that's what. And he said, this is at the British Consul, and I would like you to come for an interview. And I said, oh my gosh. No, I'm kidding, right? I said, okay. So I went to the British consulate in Madrid. It's in a very, I don't know if it's still there, but it is a very quite nice place. And he had me have a cup of coffee with him. And he said, your papers came through, so we will have a small ceremony. I said, great. So I went into his office. I saw Her Majesty the Queen on a portrait there. He handed me a Bible, very similar to this one here. He didn't open it, which I was quite, you know, disappointed, because I thought I was going to preach to him, but he didn't let me. So with a Bible, my hand there, and I had to repeat these words. I, Dario Leal, served by Almighty God on becoming a British citizen, and I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, her heirs and successors according to law. I pledge my loyalty to the United Kingdom and respect its rights and freedoms. I will uphold its democratic values. I will observe its laws faithfully and fulfill my duties and obligations as a British citizen. And then he said, well done, shake hands, and off you go. And then my passport arrived. Why am I telling this story? Because I believe that we are all part of this amazing kingdom. Not the United Kingdom, which is amazing, but another kingdom, the kingdom of God. And there is a big, big difference. You see, I pledge my allegiance to Her Majesty the Queen. But one thing I discovered is this one. I will never become an heir to the throne. Even if I wanted to, I will never become an heir to the throne. Do you know that? Yeah? I mean, you don't have to do this because you were born here, okay? But I chose to do this, and then I realized I have pledged myself to this kingdom and to serve the Queen, but actually I will never, never, never become her successor. Would that be cool? Imagine King Darius. It would be crazy. It would be crazy. Totally crazy. But you see, there is something profound about this I want you to understand. That in the kingdom of God, yes, we are called servants. But we serve Jesus. All of you serve Jesus from a place of inheritance. You and I are heirs of the kingdom of God. Heirs. And that is so, so powerful. There is a scripture that I want you to see here. It's this one. You know, if I can see it. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. You and I serve Christ from a place of inheritance. You see, sometimes when we ask people to serve in church, not all the time, but sometimes we hear things like, I'm not good, I'm not qualified, you know, I cannot do that. Now, I want you to kind of change your mind a little bit. What if you understand that today, you are an heir? What if we take the position of inheritance, saying that actually, my God is my king, he has made me an heir, and therefore I have every right. I belong to this kingdom. So when I serve from a position of wealth, a position of beauty, a position of I am co-heir with Christ. I don't know if you've ever been taught that, but this morning I want just to break one thing that perhaps we don't get it or we haven't understood well. And it took me years to get this, because sometimes when people say to me, can you do this? And I look around and said, well, I don't know if I want to, you know, I don't know. But then I realized, actually, yes. Yes, because I'm serving Christ, my King, from a position of dominion, a position of inheritance, a position of blessing and wealth. So this morning, if there's anything else that I'm going to say, this is it. This is it. We belong to Christ's kingdom. And in Christ's kingdom, there are no second-class citizens. There are none. You and I qualify. You, all of you, and myself, all of us, we are citizens of this kingdom. So when we serve, we don't come from a position of, you know that? Like, grunting. Or, that can not be me. Or, ask somebody else. But we serve from a place of inheritance. And most of you are doing that. And some of you, I want you to challenge you this morning to think in that way. Because if we do, then it will transform how we live and how we do life together in families, in this place, in our community. I got lots of stories to tell throughout the year about how that works out in the daily life, in when I meet people for coffee, or when I'm on the streets, or when I'm home. Jesus said these amazing words. I think it is, if this works, are we there? Yes. The kingdom has come, he said. The kingdom has come near. Repent and believe the good news. How do we enter this amazing kingdom? How do you grasp this amazing kingdom? But first of all, let me tell you that the word time there, it's not the time that we have here. Okay? It's not the word for chronos, time, timekeeping. It is the word kairos. And kairos is one of the most fascinating words that you ever have in the scriptures. Because kairos means basically, this is my moment. This is my time. This is my moment. This is my time. This sounds like a theater, something like, this is my moment. This is my time. But it is. That is what kairos means. I remember when my kids were born, okay? And all of them, I was there, right? I saw everything. I was there. I was excited. I wanted to become a midwife. After that, I was so excited that I thought, this is the call of my life. This is what I want to do. Seriously, I thought, how can I do this? This is so awesome. Just like, you know, tell the girls, push, and then you, bang, right? Got it. And baptize them there in the name of Jesus. Would that be awesome? And it's just like, I wanted to do that for life, right? But one thing I remember with all of them is like, when they came out, it's like, this is my time. This is my time. I have arrived. That is kairos. That is kairos moment. And when Jesus was saying, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near, he's saying, boom, I arrived. This is it. The kingdom starts today. The kingdom starts now. All the promises of the Lord till now is coming true. My kingdom, my time, I have arrived. I keep looking at you. Don't worry, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Don't worry, it's all good. Okay, we're going to be praying for you. But your time will come. Your time will come. And you will be, yes, kick him out. And he will say, yes, or her, we don't know. I have arrived. And the kingdom is like that. Jesus gave birth to the kingdom when he declared, my time has come. How do we enter the kingdom? When he says it's there, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Change your mind. Repent of your sins. Let's turn around. Let's say, Lord, I confess. I need you in my life. I need you in my life. I cannot do life without you. And then he says, believe the good news. Believe the good news. And this is so richly biblical. You know, this is what he said earlier on about the good news of the kingdom. He says this, "For the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That is the good news. Those words are from Isaiah. He is saying, you know what the prophet Isaiah said? Actually, that is me. My time has come now. I'm declaring to the world that I have arrived. That is I. Because the anointing of the Lord is resting upon me. I'm going to proclaim the good news, and people will be set free. Freedom from oppression, freedom from sickness, freedom from blindness, to proclaim the favor of the Lord. You see, the kingdom of God is about redemption. I have read lots of books. I'm still reading books. I'm still listening to really clever people. And I honor them. And most of the people I listen to, we are trying to make sense of how faith translates into the world. So people are talking about new reformation. People are talking about cultural transformation. And that's all well. But actually what the kingdom of God is like, or the purpose of the kingdom, is about redeeming. It's redemption. Redemption. And those words speaks about the redemptive heart of God. How do we enter the kingdom? By repenting, by believing the good news, by accepting this redemption. And that word redemption is so beautifully said in here. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom." He paid the price for you and for me so that we can have this amazing, powerful good news, because his kairos, his time, has come to you and to me, and it is here. So redemption, ransom, is very much part of the kingdom of God. How do we enter? By repenting of our sins, by turning around, by accepting him. Now, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14 these words, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Now, I know that in the context of what he's saying here, he's talking about the wicked brother, right? You know, about the food and the wicked brother, and that we need to be careful with that. But now and then, Paul writes these amazing words. It's like a gem. It's just a precious stone. It's like you see it and you think, oh, wow. So the kingdom of God, or the ethos of the kingdom of God, that you and I enjoy and have, are this: drinking and eating. No, I'm kidding. It's not there. I just want you to be awake. It says here, it's not a matter of eating or drinking. When I read those words, I thought, I don't know if I like that. I like to eat. And you? I like to drink. Let me say that carefully. Water and coffee, and let's leave it there. But in the context, he's saying the kingdom of God is not just about that. It is about this: joy. Joyful. That's why we started the declarations this morning. Joy. One of the most amazing kingdom values is joy. Then he said peace. Peace. Peace is not the absence of war. Peace is a person, it's Jesus. And righteousness. He has declared us to be righteous because he died in our place. He paid the price for us. And this year we will be looking at what that means for us as we journey together. briefly. Let me go back to that. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news of righteousness, joy, and peace. We serve an almighty God. We serve the King of Kings. You and I serve from a place of inheritance, a place of wealth, a place where nothing is impossible for God. How do we work this out? Because the Bible says the kingdom has come and the kingdom will come. We live in the tension of both kingdoms, the kingdom now and the kingdom yet to come. What do we do in between? What do we do? Do we just wait for that to happen? Or do we do something about it? And this is what the Bible speaks about proclaiming and doing the works of the kingdom. So let me close with this story that shows both. What I'm doing now is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. That is proclamation. But to demonstrate the works of the kingdom, and let me tell you what happened to us in a walk in Newcastle. Actually, I went to the last walking group. Amazing. Yeah. Did anybody say yeah? Ooh. You should have seen them. I was scared. You know, boots, jackets, like, so gear up for walking. I loved it. I really loved it. And we went to Newcastle. And to be honest, Newcastle is amazing because they got this amazing ice cream shop, which is in the corner. What do you call that? Moss. Is that right? Moss. And I love Moss, and I love the salty caramel ice cream. Have you ever tried that? No? No, not salty caramel? Yes. One taker there. Great. So I wanted to go and have a wee ice cream, but I didn't at the end. I settled for a banoffee pie. I couldn't resist. So we went for a walk, lovely chats, love to, you know, just talking to each other, good exercise, came back, had a cup of coffee and the banoffee pie. And then, together with, I'm not going to mention you, but you know who you are, we were on our way back, and I just felt something going on my back. I sensed something that wasn't right. And I turned back and I saw a group of five girls, five or four. And one of my companions looked at me and said, yeah, are you, yes? Like, did you feel that? Yes, we kind of agree without saying it. So I turned back and I said to them, this is so weird and random, but I'm going to introduce myself to you. And I am a minister. I belong to this church. And I just want to tell you girls that, you know, that you're amazing. Don't let any boys mess you about. And I was just speaking life to them, okay? And they were like, what's this? You know, but they were generous. They were, you know, happy that I talked to them. And I said, we will pray for you. And that was it. So we carry on to the car where, you know, they were waiting for us. But they follow us. Or they were in the same, you know, we were walking in the same direction. And then I heard, I think I got it right. Let me know if I didn't get it right later on. I heard someone asking, what's a minister? What's a minister? And we turned around, and some of my companions said, well, a minister is, and they went to explain. And then I asked one of the girls, do you have a pain in your hip? And she looked at me and she said, I just fallen. And I said, can I pray? Because when I pray, if you believe this and I believe this, your pain is going to go. And she let me pray. And I said, put your hand here and hold my hand. And it was like prayer. That short. Father, in Jesus' name, bless her and heal her. And I asked, is the pain gone? She said, yeah. Yeah, it's no longer there. It's no longer there. And I said, great, I love doing this. Proclamation and the works of the kingdom. Proclamation and the anointing of the Lord upon us to do the work of the kingdom. Without that anointing, the work of the kingdom becomes very dry. And it's really hard to do. But when his Spirit's upon us, when we are filled with his presence, when the anointing comes, then the works of the kingdom is actually pretty easy. We need to believe it. We need to grasp it. We need to live it out. That's why, you see, that's why in this kingdom, I will never, never be an heir to the throne. Never. Not that they want me to. Never. It's not going to happen. But in God's kingdom, I am. And therefore, when we just pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we need to believe it.